Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jerilyn has the night off. They called me in, Steve Thompson, to work alongside producer Jonathan Lowe tonight. Thank you so much for the time. Much needed rain falling around the region. We'll get rain overnight, anywhere from 3/4 to 1 inch expected in the greater metro area, and then the rain will let up tomorrow. Otherwise, a cloudy, cool day before summer's heat returns, highs in the 90s. Later in the week and next weekend. Certainly a lot warmer where our next guest joins us from, Robert Zimmerman, my favorite space and science writer. I've been visiting with Bob for many years here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. He lives in the desert southwest, and it's certainly been a hot summer. It's been a little dry here, but we are getting much-needed rain. Bob, good to visit with you. I hope all is well.
Oh, everything is fine, Steve. 90 degrees, gee. That's a nice day here in Tucson. What do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember 4 years in a row I moved my daughter down to the University of Arizona. And we've told this story a lot as of late. Our first trip, we actually flew into Phoenix because the flights were more affordable from Minneapolis to Phoenix. And then we would rent a van and put the stuff in it and bring it down I-10 to Tucson. And the first time we came down to move her in, it was in August once upon a time, in Phoenix, 117 degrees. That was an eye-opener. That coming from this neck of the woods, that was a bit of an eye opener. But we did survive, and she did just fine down there in the desert and loves it.
I will tell you, as I said before, that Phoenix is a far different thing than Tucson. it's much. The difference is anywhere from 10 to 15 degrees. And if it gets to be, the only time here it gets to be really uncomfortable is when it's over 100 degrees. But even then, it's not so bad as long as you're not in the bright sun or you wear a hat. The statement that it's a dry heat is an utterly true statement. It really makes an enormous difference. And so anyway, so this is on the ground. We should be talking about things up in space. So that's what I'm here for. So what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. And the headline on your website, behindtheblack.com, if people aren't aware, China very active in space and space flight. And they did a launch today. And your story brings up a great deal of concern, and there has been concern about how the Chinese operate. They have a space station, and they have a rocket that is capable of reaching orbit. They've done so many times, but they don't do it in a way that's particularly responsible. And the piece at your website today outlines that you know they're doing this, but you know it's probably not with safety in mind.
They don't give a darn about the people that live in their country, the government there. They don't care in the slightest. In fact, I just saw a video report showing examples of how during the major flooding that occurred in Beijing recently, the government spent money to hide the problem so that no one would know about it, not to fix the problem or to fake that they were fixing the problem when they really weren't doing it. And of course this means that they're not spending the resources to try to help their own citizens. And in the case of China, I have a map on Behind the Black, which shows all their spaceports. What's really important to understand about that map is that of the four spaceports, only one is on the coast. But that's a new spaceport that was only completed around 2 years ago. China's been launching rockets for almost a half century. More than a half century. From the interior spaceports within China. Well, every single one of those launches from the interior spaceports is going to drop a first stage on the ground, uncontrolled. And I must emphasize that they have a whole range, a whole fleet of different kinds of rockets. But until recently, almost every one of their rockets used as its fuel something called hypergolic fuels. These are fuels that the two different propellants fuel, that when they come together, they instantly ignite. And this is an advantage. You don't even need an ignition source, and it makes it very simple for the rocket to produce energy and to fly. But hypergolic fuels are extremely toxic. And every one of the stages of those rockets flies with hypergolic fuels. And every one of those first stages and booster stages that crash within China use those fuels. They've only recently started to use liquid fuels that are less toxic, though, once again, having a first stage crash on your home, even if there's no toxic fuels, ain't so nice. And in fact, one of the reasons I pointed this out on the launch today was that just about a week ago, they launched from a different interior spaceport, and the first stage crashed in a city of 2 million people. And there's pictures, the video that locals took of people standing around next to this first stage in this city in China. And that was one of those tanks. That was one of those stages that has hypergolic fuels. And in fact, none of those people know that they are really, really, really risking significant health problems. Toxic fuel melts skin. This hypergolic fuel. They don't realize that, and China doesn't really care. They, and as I've pointed out, I'm sure I've done it on your show, but I've been writing about this for years. The space station they've got up in orbit, the rocket they use to launch it's called the Long March 5B. The core stage of its first stage, it's a first stage with two boost strap-ons, and the core stage of that reaches orbit. And that core stage will only be in orbit for a very short period of time, and it's big, and so it has to hit the ground. But the trouble is, it gets into orbit in a very unstable orbit with no way to control its descent. And so five different times in the last 4 years, they've launched this rocket, not caring the fact that the first stage was going to crash somewhere on Earth out of control. And in fact, in one case, if it had come down 15 minutes earlier, it would have landed in the New York City metropolitan area.
Wow.
And there's absolutely no way they can you cannot predict. When it's not controllable like this, there's no way to predict exactly where it's going to come down. It's a chaotic event, and so there was no way to predict. That core stage, it has engines where you light them. Once they burn out, they cannot be restarted. And so there's no way, once it finishes its job, to do anything about it. And there have been hints they're going to replace the engines so they can be restarted, but they haven't done it. And that's now almost, the 5B has been in operation now for about 4 years, and nothing's been changed. And trust me, they're going to be using that rocket again in the next year or so, several times. In fact, they've been pushing to use it a lot more for their planetary manned program and for their space station and for astronomy work. And in the meantime, they launch routinely from these interior spaceports with these older rockets that have toxic fuel, and they land their first stages. And in the case of the launch that I pointed out today, it put up a radar satellite into geosynchronous orbit. That's an orbit that's going to require it to go almost due east from its launch site. The launch site it went up from is in southern China, and so that meant traveling east, the first stage and the boosters involved. There were four different strap-on boosters, all with hypergolic fuels, came down somewhere in eastern China, in a very heavily populated area. We have no idea. They've been trying to prevent their citizens from distributing smartphone videos of this kind of stuff. They didn't succeed last week, but they have shut it down pretty successfully in recent years. And so they could have hit somebody and we wouldn't know about it. Just gives you a sense of the kind of government that China has. When they talk about them doing a Nazi-like genocide of the Uyghurs, trust me, it's not false. This is not a very nice government.
Yeah, and the fact that other space-faring countries have been very critical, but there appears to be really no attempt to change the strategy whatsoever. Uncontrolled reentry, all of those things that you alluded to, going forward, that can be a real problem as companies like SpaceX and other companies and other countries want to do business in low Earth orbit. This can complicate things a great deal.
Yes, there have been indications over the years that China has tried to steal ideas from others, as they want to do, to control the descent of these first stages better, not to land them to reuse, but just to control their descent, such as adding parachutes or grid fins. And they've touted that those attempts in the past, but there's been no indication that they've installed and made that technology work. They do it once in a while. They say, "Oh, we've done this," but then if they were really sincere about that, you begin to see a steady pattern repeated over and over again, just like with SpaceX when they were trying to learn how to land their first stage. They would do it once and then do it again and then do it again, and if it didn't work each time, they could do it and refine it the next time until they succeeded. And you'd think if China was really sincerely trying to do this instead of PR and, public, stunts, photo ops, if they were really sincere, you'd see a trend moving forward of getting better and better at it, and that's not what we see. Now, China has a lot of what I call pseudo-companies. These are so-called private companies that have obtained investment capital that are developing their own rockets for launch. But they're pseudo-companies. They're not real. They get investment capital, and they supposedly have their own management structure, but almost invariably the rockets they launch come out of military technology, at least initially, which means the government is controlling them. And in China, there's no such thing as private property or ownership rights. If at any time these companies did anything the Chinese government didn't like, they'd take it over or shut it down. And anything they have been doing is totally under the supervision and control of the Chinese government. So to call them private companies is incorrect. They are pseudo companies. And there's a bunch of them that are trying to develop competitively with each other reusable first stages, stealing technology from the United States to do it or improving upon that American technology. And as they try to do this, they're hoping to get contracts from the government. But once again, they are still controlled by the government, and none have yet succeeded. I do expect a few will do so. And in that sense, China is showing is allowing some movement forward in this area. But you have to emphasize once again, this is a government government that is cares only about really one thing, and that's the power and control of its position in power. And everything they do is to maintain their power. And the citizen, if it helps the citizenry to maintain their power, they'll help the citizenry, their citizens. If it doesn't help their power to maintain their power, their citizens can go burn in hell. And that's exactly what they've done in a few times.
Quick break. We'll come back more with Robert Zimmerman here on News Talk 830-WCCO. He's written many wonderful books still to come on the program. We'll discuss his latest book, Conscious Choice, and it does relate to human exploration of the solar system. We'll get into that. And also, what's going on with SpaceX. When might we see another launch of Starship down in Texas? We'll get into all of that coming up here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Robert Zimmerman, my favorite space and science writer, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And you probably hear him regularly on the John Batchelor Show, late nights here on News Talk 830-WCCO as well. Bob, always good to visit with you.
Sorry, Steve, I hadn't realized John Batchelor is on CCO, so that means I'm on your station at least twice a week.
Absolutely. I've heard it when I've been out and about. John Batchelor on late nights here at News Talk, 830-WCCO, and I've enjoyed your conversation. So grateful you're joining us tonight. We talked about China and what they're up to, but SpaceX continues to amaze. I try and catch launches, etc. If not, I read the follow-ups. It's not routine, but they sure make it look easy.
What they do different than any rocket company in history, which, of course, every other engineering company routinely does, but rocket companies haven't done this, is that when they have a technical issue, they don't look at putting together a patch fix that'll just get them by. They look at the problem and they fix it in a way that the problem never reappears. Now, this shouldn't be surprising. This is just common sense, and this is how you operate airplanes and how you do cars and how you do every appliance made over history. Is, you know, you improve the technology so that it becomes more reliable. Of course, if you build in obsolescence, you lose your market share to China, to Japan, but that's another story for another time. But as a general rule, they apply good engineering to make things work better. And because they want to reuse their rockets, it requires them to make them more robust. So it makes them actually more reliable in the very design process. It's one of the reasons that they make it seem so routine and boring and easy, because over time, they have worked out all the kinks, and so their rockets function the way a good piece of engineering should work, and that's why it looks like it's easy. All I can think of is, gosh, why didn't someone think of this before? We spent half a century thinking rocketry can't ever be like everything else, but of course it can. You just simply have to apply the same standards to it that we apply to everything else that exists in the world, in this technological world we live. And SpaceX has done that, and that's why they make it look easy, Steve.
They have a big project going on down in Texas, a Starship, their super heavy booster and their Starship upper stage. They attempted an orbital launch. They didn't quite get to orbit. They learned a lot. They learned that they need to do some things with the pad itself to make it stand up. And it appears that they are gearing up for another try at some point. Now, there are a number of lawsuits, and there are government agencies involved in this. Maybe you can give us a relatively brief update on what's going on with Starship and when we might see another try.
At this moment in time, SpaceX, about 3 months ago, said they were targeting August for a next orbital try. And based upon their pace of operations and how things are going, August seems even now like it's very possible. It might be the first week in September, engineering-wise, but they're getting close. They've already done some tests of their new launch pad and some engine tests with the new launch pad, and they're still working out kinks. But it seems to me that they're very close, and if they had the freedom to operate like a free American company could for most of our history, they would almost certainly launch before the end of this month, because they have the boosters ready to go, and they want to use them, test them, and if they blow up, that's okay, because then they have more boosters on, more prototypes in the assembly line ready to go, and each launch teaches them something. They don't sit around. But they won't launch in August, and I predicted this in March. Since the Biden administration took power, the number of test launches SpaceX has been able to do has dropped from almost monthly launches to one every year or two. They've really done only about two test launches since the Biden administration took over, and they can't do it because the regulatory swamp in Washington has clamped down and is basically treating these test launches of prototypes as if they're a operational airline launch where you have an investigation after every time something goes wrong. But this is a prototype. Something is going to go wrong, and you launch it with that in mind to make sure nothing hurts anybody else. And it's exactly what SpaceX did in their April launch, that orbital attempt. They knew that this was probably not going to reach orbit, and so they launched it in a way that if it had a problem, it would be destroyed, you know, self-destruct, and fall into the ocean. And that's what happened. No one was hurt. And the launch did no harm. There's a lawsuit from some environmental groups that have no standing, actually, in Boca Chica, where the launch was, but they have filed a suit saying it was doing terrible damage, but the various government agencies have already said very clearly it did no damage. It did no damage at all. None outside of their own property, and the damage that occurred within SpaceX's own property, they've repaired and they have redesigned the launch pad so such a thing won't happen again.
To use now, water, if you will. Yeah,
yes, this is not an unusual thing. On most launches, they do it with the Falcon 9. You spray water at the base of the pad, and that dissipates the energy from the rocket so they don't damage the pad, reduces the dust, reduces any debris, it eliminates any debris that will fly away because the pad doesn't get damaged. That's what they've installed. Now, will it work 100% the first time when they launch? Maybe, maybe not. It'll definitely improve the situation from the last launch, but you got to launch. You got to find out what you need to fix if it's not perfect. And that's how SpaceX operates. And they have a track record, as I said already, that if it works, if they need to fix it, they'll fix it so that it will work reliably down the road. That's their track record. Biden administration is blocking them right now. I predicted in March that they will not launch in August and probably not by the end of the year, and I see nothing to change that right now. And the only reason they won't launch this year is because government agencies who have no qualified people within them to decide this one way or the other are going to sit on their hands and say, no, we're not happy. We want you to make it better. But they won't be in a position to make it better because they're not engineers. They're not rocket engineers. They're paper pushers in D.C. But that's what they're going to do because they now have power, and this ain't the free country that some of us think it is, not anymore.
Quick break. We'll come back, and we will talk about the future, if you will. There's the engineering standpoint, but I believe when humans have settlements on the moon and Mars and potentially beyond, how will they be governed? What will be the rules that govern these human outposts? We'll get into that with Bob and his latest book, Conscious Choice, in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Robert Zimmerman joins us. His website is Behind the Black. You hear Bob two nights a week with John Batchelor, late nights here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We've talked for years here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And he's written many wonderful books. Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, I invite you to read it. Just a wonderful story about just a groundbreaking mission. Once again, Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, one of my favorites. You've got a new book that is now available in hardback, paper book, and in ebook form, Conscious Choice. And this explores the topic of that day when humans will spread out around the solar system. May not happen in our lifetime, but at some point it will. And how will that work? How will those human settlements be governed, whether they're on the moon or Mars or whatever? And Bob, you delve into that topic, and you look back in history and then look forward and mistakes to be avoided when we go down that road.
Yes, many years ago, this book took years to write, actually, because I really researched very hard. I wanted to make sure I knew my facts really well. I'm a historian, so I really went back to original sources. What started me out was, okay, what kind of governance and laws and government should one establish, and what kind of culture should you create within a new colony in another world? And I thought to myself, you know, the British, when they settled the North America with their 13 some odd colonies, actually did a kind of experiment, because each of those colonies tried things a little differently. And we can look at those colonies and how they established their governments and their societies and what they did. And some succeeded brilliantly, and some failed horribly. And that gives us wonderful information for trying to figure out what would work and what would not. So I went back, and I researched, and I started with Virginia, and I focused on Virginia, because Virginia was a British colony from a society that that despised slavery, believed in freedom, believed in individual rights. There was no such thing as slavery in Britain. They had indentured servitude, but it was almost entirely in Britain designed to educate the young. It was formed as an educational tool, apprenticeship. It was not used as a labor for the general public. And they were appalled by the idea of slavery. Slavery never was sold in England. Even the British who tried to trade slaves couldn't sell them in England. And so they built a colony in Virginia, and somehow over a period of 100 years, it becomes a slave state. And it actually spreads the poison throughout the Deep South for the first 200 years of the colonization of the New World and the first 100-some-odd years of the United States until the Civil War. And the question asks, why? Why did they have slaves? Well, all the northern colonies the British established not only had very few slaves, but they ended up becoming very hostile to slavery. And in fact, the abolitionist movement grew out of the Quakers in Pennsylvania in northern colonies. This was a movement that was utterly new in human history. Slavery was not considered abhorrent or immoral before the abolitionist movement. So the colonies give us lessons on what would work and what would not. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell that story and then apply the lessons learned, good and bad, what we should do when we establish our colonies on Mars, on the asteroids, and elsewhere. And that's essentially what the book is about. It talks about in great length what went wrong in Virginia, what choices, and their conscious choices. That's the most important. That's why the title is what it is, because we're always making choices. We might be not thinking about it, but when you don't think about it, you're making a conscious choice not to think about it. And a lot of decisions made in Virginia were consciously wrong, and established a place where the idea of slavery or unpaid labor and treating people as inferiors because of their race became the natural culture. And the kind of things that happened in Virginia could very easily happen in the colonies and other worlds. We always talk about we're going where no one has ever gone before, but that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is establishing new worlds where we can raise children. And so our focus has always got to be on that when we establish these new colonies on other worlds. And that's what I tried to tell in Conscious Choice, and it's available. And I think people who are interested in space exploration should learn something about the past history so they understand what the future should be.
Yeah, and it will happen at some point. I believe that, you know, moving out, building these colonies, initially it would be government-based or maybe even private industry-based exploration, maybe mining an asteroid or going to a planet like Mars. But eventually, as humans settle and make this their new home, there will need to be governance and a rule of law, etc. And that is fascinating because, like I say, it is a new world, and how will that be structured?
One of the mistakes the Virginians made is they had a government, but it was a government that was top down, I like to say. It was ruled by an elite who thought they knew better. And they would pass laws willy-nilly and then chance new laws and repeal old laws. And they basically manipulated things continuously without really thinking at great depth about what the purpose of the laws should be. And so it was sloppy lawmaking partly that caused the problem. It was a case where very centralized power, you know, if we have private companies that establish colonies in other worlds, they become company towns if we're not careful. And company towns are as bad as dictatorships because the people who work there are in many ways taken bad advantage of. You need to establish a system where in such as the New England colonies did, where you had small, self-sufficient, privately owned operations. And in the case of New England, it was small family farms, self-sufficient, so they were owned by individuals. Now, it might not be the same thing in the colonies, but you have to decentralize so that you have a lot of competition and small holdings. That's part of it. There's many other things. You've got to go with families, and you've got to stay focused on the children. You're not exploring new worlds You're not going there just to make money. You are going to create a place where you want to raise your kids. And if you think about that when you do it, it'll change how you do it so that it'll make it a better place for everyone to live. Because if we can't make it good for our kids, we're certainly going to make it not going to make it good for ourselves.
Well, and Bob, once again, your website Behind the Black has details. Where can people find the book?
They can go to Behind the Black. There's links there. It's available on Amazon. It's available from my publisher, eBookIt, as an eBook, as a hardback, as a paperback. But it's definitely available on all the main internet vendors, such as Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and others. You know, just as Genesis is, just like The Leaving Choice is, they're all available. If you go to my website and buy it direct there, I get a cut a little larger, and I get the money sooner, but it doesn't matter. Go to Amazon. You can pick it up right there.
Well, and we look forward to your visits with John Batchelor, weeknights, Tuesdays and Thursdays, correct?
No, actually, these days it's Tuesdays and Fridays.
Ah.
I should change that on my website because it says Tuesdays and Thursdays, which we did for years, but we changed it recently for a variety of reasons. So now I'm on his show on Wednesdays and Fridays. Let me be more precise.
Well, thank you, Bob. Always good to visit with you and catch up. And your insight's always a lot of great material at his website, Behind the Black. We'll do it again soon.
As many times as you want, Steve.
There he is, Robert Zimmerman, my favorite space and science writer. A lot of fascinating material. And we'll see about the next big launch down in Texas. I've always thought I want to go to one of those, but you have no idea. It would be difficult to plan, and I have to work, so I can't just head down to Texas and hang out for the next big Starship launch. It would be a sight to see. 11 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. We'll put a wrap on it. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Steve in for Gerilyn tonight here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Steve in for Gerilyn. She has the night off. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Big thanks to all our guests joining us on the program. Minneapolis City Council member Robin Wansley representing Ward 2 about an ordinance that would make sure that Uber and Lyft drivers are getting a fair wage in the city. That would be the equivalent of the minimum of $15 an hour. And once again, that vote comes up later in the week. And Maria Hayden from the State Fair, hard to believe the fair begins a week from Thursday. And I don't know, Jonathan, are you going to be in studio? Or are you going to be at the fair at all? What's the plan?
I plan on being out there a couple days. I know last year I was out there the two Saturdays of the fair, and I'm expecting to have that same schedule, but
so in other words, you would get to work with Shaletta and yours truly.
That would be correct, sir.
Ah, that would be wonderful. A walk down memory lane.
Yes, yes.
I love it. And Shaletta will bring a lot of energy to the fair for sure.
Yeah, yes, she will.
Yeah, we have a lot we have a new real estate show 11 to noon, and then Shaletta is on noon to 3, and then I'm on after 3 until the ball game. I think we have Twins games both days of the fair, that evening anyway. So,
great. The Twins games will both be at night. It was the same thing last year. I just hope and pray that the games go better this year than they did last year when I was having to finish my shift over there and then come here and get us out of the Twins game those nights. The first night, that was when the severe thunderstorm
rolled through.
That was exciting.
The only thing I don't want at the fair when I'm out there, I mean, obviously severe weather is number one, but beyond that, the blazing hot days.
Yes.
You know, just the ridiculous heat and humidity. I don't like that. in all the years I've been out at the fair and at the CCO Radio Fair booth, I just don't want the insane heat and humidity. And we get that from time to time.
I'll say this. For the sake of the fair itself, I'll take the heat. I'll even take the humidity, as long as the air quality is good.
Yeah, there you go. We don't want it. We don't want any Canadian forest fires.
Yeah,
smoke.
No. Still ozone. We'll take a storm or two rolling through. But the biggest thing is, have that air quality be good, because if the fair had been held in June of this year, it'd have been a disaster. It really would have.
Yeah, hopefully we can avoid that. Well, Jonathan, always good to work with you, my friend. We have all the news coming up at 10, CCO Conversations after 10. Have a great evening. A big thanks to you for tuning in tonight here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Robert Zimmerman joins us. His website is Behind the Black. You hear Bob two nights a week with John Batchelor, late nights here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We've talked for years here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And he's written many wonderful books. Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, I invite you to read it. Just a wonderful story about just a groundbreaking mission. Once again, Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, one of my favorites. You've got a new book that is now available in hardback, paperback, and in ebook form, Conscious Choice. And this explores the topic of that day when humans will spread out around the solar system. May not happen in our lifetime, but at some point it will. And how will that work? How will those human settlements be governed, whether they're on the moon or Mars or whatever? And Bob, you delve into that topic and you look back in history and then look forward and mistakes to be avoided when we go down that road.
Yes, many years ago, this book took years to write, actually, because I really researched very hard. I wanted to make sure I knew my facts really well. I'm a historian, so I really went back to original sources. What started me out was, okay, what kind of governance and laws and government should one establish, and what kind of culture should you create within a new colony in another world? And I thought to myself, you know, the British, when they settled the North America with their 13 some odd colonies, actually did a kind of experiment, because each of those colonies tried things a little differently. And we can look at those colonies and how they established their governments and their societies and what they did. And some succeeded brilliantly, and some failed horribly. And that gives us wonderful information for trying to figure out what would work and what would not. So I went back, and I researched, and I started with Virginia, and I focused on Virginia, because Virginia was a British colony from a society that despised slavery, believed in freedom, believed in individual rights. There was no such thing as slavery in Britain. They had indentured servitude, but it was almost entirely in Britain designed to educate the young. It was formed as an educational tool, apprenticeship. It was not used as a labor for the general public. And they were appalled by the idea of slavery. Slavery never was sold in England. Even the British who tried to trade slaves couldn't sell them in England. And so they built a colony in Virginia, and somehow over a period of 100 years, it becomes a slave state. And it actually spreads the poison throughout the Deep South for the first 200 years of the colonization of the New World and the first 100-some-odd years of the United States until the Civil War. And the question asks, why? Why did they have slaves? Well, all the northern colonies the British established not only had very few slaves, but they ended up becoming very hostile to slavery. And in fact, the abolitionist movement grew out of the Quakers in Pennsylvania in northern colonies. This was a movement that was utterly new in human history. Slavery was not considered abhorrent or immoral before the abolitionist movement. So the colonies give us lessons on what would work and what would not. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell that story and then apply the lessons learned, good and bad, what we should do when we establish our colonies on Mars, on the asteroids, and elsewhere. And that's essentially what the book is about. It talks about in great length what went wrong in Virginia, what choices, and their conscious choices. That's the most important. That's why the title is what it is, because we're always making choices. We might be not thinking about it, but when you don't think about it, you're making a conscious choice not to think about it. And a lot of decisions made in Virginia were consciously wrong, and established a place where the idea of slavery or unpaid labor and treating people as inferiors because of their race became the natural culture. And the kind of things that happened in Virginia could very easily happen in the colonies and other worlds. We always talk about we're going where no one has ever gone before, but that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is establishing new worlds where we can raise children. And so our focus has always got to be on that when we establish these new colonies on other worlds. And that's what I tried to tell in Conscious Choice, and it's available. And I think people who are interested in space exploration should learn something about the past history so they understand what the future should be.
Yeah, and it will happen at some point. I believe that, you know, moving out, building these colonies, initially it would be government-based or maybe even private industry-based exploration, maybe mining an asteroid or going to a planet like Mars. But eventually, as humans settle and make this their new home, there will need to be governance and a rule of law, etc. And that is fascinating because like I say, it is a new world, and how will that be structured?
One of the mistakes the Virginians made is they had a government, but it was a government that was top down, I like to say. It was ruled by an elite who thought they had knew better. And they would pass laws willy-nilly and then chance new laws and repeal old laws. And they basically manipulated things continuously without really thinking at great depth about what the purpose of the laws should be. And so it was sloppy lawmaking, partly, that caused the problem. It was a case where very centralized power, you know, if we have private companies that establish colonies in other worlds, they become company towns if we're not careful. And company Sure. towns are as bad as dictatorships because the people who work there are in many ways taken bad advantage of. You need to establish a system where in such as the New England colonies did, where you had small, self-sufficient, privately owned operations. And in the case of New England, it was small family farms, self-sufficient, so they were owned by individuals. Now, it might not be the same thing in the colonies, but you have to decentralize so that you have a lot of competition and small holdings. That's part of it. There's many other things. You've got to go with families, and you've got to stay focused on the children. You're not building you're not exploring new worlds. You're not going there just to make money. You are going to create a place where you want to raise your kids. And if you think about that when you do it, it'll change how you do it so that it'll make it a better place for everyone to live, because if we can't make it good for our kids, we're certainly going to make it not going to make it good for ourselves.
Well, and Bob, once again, your website Behind the Black has details. Where can people find the book?
They can go to Behind the Black. There's links there. It's available on Amazon. It's available from my publisher, eBookIt, as an eBook, as a hardback, as a paperback. But it's definitely available on all the main internet vendors, such as Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and others. You know, just as Genesis is, just like The Leaving Choices, they're all available. If you go to my website and buy it direct there, I get a cut a little larger, and I get the money sooner, but it doesn't matter. Go to Amazon. You can pick it up right there.
Well, we look forward to your visits with John Batchelor, weeknights, Tuesdays and Thursdays, correct?
No, actually, these days it's Tuesdays and Fridays.
Ah.
I should change that on my website because it says Tuesdays and Thursdays, which we did for years, but we changed it recently for a variety of reasons. So now I'm on his show on Wednesdays and Fridays. Let me be more precise.
Well, thank you, Bob. Always good to visit with you and catch up. And your insight's always a lot of great material at his website, Behind the Black. We'll do it again soon.
As many times as you want, Steve.
There he is, Robert Zimmerman, my favorite space and science writer. A lot of fascinating material. And we'll see about the next big launch down in Texas. I've always thought I want to go to one of those, but you have no idea. It would be difficult to plan, and I have to work, so I can't just head down to Texas and hang out for the next big Starship launch. It would be a sight to see. 11 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. We'll put a wrap on it. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Steve in for Gerilyn tonight here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Steve in for Gerilyn. She has the night off. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Big thanks to all our guests joining us on the program. Minneapolis City Council member Robin Wansley representing Ward 2 about an ordinance that would make sure that Uber and Lyft drivers are getting a fair wage in the city. That would be the equivalent of a minimum of $15 an hour. And once again, that vote comes up later in the week. And Maria Hayden from the State Fair, hard to believe the fair begins a week from Thursday. And I don't know, Jonathan, are you going to be in studio? Or are you going to be at the fair at all? What's the plan?
I plan on being out there a couple days. I know last year I was out there the two Saturdays of the fair, and I'm expecting to have that same schedule. But
so in other words, you would get to work with Shaletta and yours truly.
That would be correct, sir.
Ah, that would be wonderful. A walk down memory lane.
Yes, yes.
I love it. And Shaletta will bring a lot of energy to the fair for sure.
Yeah, yes, she will.
Yeah, we have a lot we have a new real estate show, 11 to noon. And then Shaletta is on noon to 3, and then I'm on after 3 until the ball game. And I think we have Twins games both days of the fair, that evening anyway. So, yeah, that'd be great.
The Twins games will both be at night. There was the same thing last year. I just hope and pray that the games go better this year than they did last year. When I was having to finish my shift over there and then come here and get us out of the Twins game those nights. The first night, that was when the severe thunderstorm rolled through. That was exciting.
The only thing I don't want at the fair when I'm out there, I mean, obviously severe weather is number one. But beyond that, the blazing hot days.
Yes.
You know, just the ridiculous heat and humidity. I don't like that. And all the years I've been out at the fair and at the CCO Radio Fair booth, I just don't want the insane heat and humidity. And we get that from time to time.
I'll say this. For the sake of the fair itself, I'll take the heat. I'll even take the humidity, as long as the air quality is good.
Yeah, there you go. We don't want any Canadian forest fires.
Yeah, no, still ozone. We'll take a storm or two rolling through. But the biggest thing is, have that air quality be good, because if the fair had been held in June of this year, it'd have been a disaster. It really would have.
Yeah, hopefully we can avoid that. Well, Jonathan, always good to work with you, my friend. We have all the news coming up at 10, CCO Conversations after 10. Have a great evening. A big thanks to you for tuning in tonight here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Steve in for Geraldine. She has the night off. Jonathan Lowe is our producer. Big thanks to all our guests joining us on the program. Minneapolis City Council member Robin Wansley, representing Ward 2, about an ordinance that would make sure that Uber and Lyft drivers are getting a fair wage in the city. That would be the equivalent of a minimum of $15 an hour. And once again, that vote comes up later in the week. And Maria Hayden from the State Fair, hard to believe the fair begins a week from Thursday. And I don't know, Jonathan, are you going to be in studio? Are you going to be at the fair at all? What's the plan?
I plan on being out there a couple days. I know last year I was out there the two Saturdays of the fair, and I'm expecting to have that same schedule. But so
in other words, you would get to work with Shaletta and yours truly.
That would be correct, sir.
Ah, that would be wonderful. A walk down memory lane.
Yes, yes.
I love it. And Shaletta will bring a lot of energy to the fair for sure.
Yeah, yes, she will.
Yeah, we have we have a new real estate show, 11 to noon. And then Shaletta is on noon to 3, and then I'm on after 3 until the ball game. I think we have Twins games both days of the fair, that evening anyway. That'd be great.
The Twins games will both be at night. There was the same thing last year. I just hope and pray that the games go better this year than they did last year. When I was having to finish my shift over there and then come here and get us out of the Twins game those nights. The first night, that was when the severe thunderstorm rolled through. Yeah, that was exciting.
The only thing I don't want at the fair when I'm out there, I mean, obviously severe weather is number one, but beyond that, the blazing hot days.
Yes.
You know, just the the ridiculous heat and humidity. I don't like that. In all the years I've been out at the fair and at the CCO Radio Fair booth, I just don't want the insane heat and humidity. And we get that from time to time.
I'll say this. For the sake of the fair itself, I'll take the heat. I'll even take the humidity, as long as the air quality is good.
Yeah, there you go. We don't want any Canadian forest fires.
Yeah,
smoke.
No still ozone. We'll take a storm or two rolling through, but the biggest thing is have that air quality be good, because if the fair had been held in June of this year, it'd have been a disaster. It really would have.
Yeah, hopefully we can avoid that. Well, Jonathan, always good to work with you, my friend. We have all the news coming up at 10, CCO Conversations after 10. Have a great evening. A big thanks to you for tuning in tonight here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.